This is Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk. Here are your hosts, Dr. Tim Slecker and Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, educated educators talking education.
Welcome to Busted Pencils, fully leaded education talk, educated educators talking education, blue scholars, that's what blue collar scholars, Johnny Lupinacci, man. It's been a couple days since I've seen you and Jess. Johnny, Jess, first of all, homeroom, always love checking in with you guys. What's happening in your neck of the woods?
Hey, Tim, you know what? It's great to be on the horn with you and love these new drops. Love the format. Love being able to just pop in and check in with you and Jess. Chop it up, especially in homeroom, because we get to lay out what's happening in education research, education news, to be educated educators talking education, right? So let's jump into it, man. I mean, it's a week. We got the whole week ahead of us. Jess, what kind of news do we got happening in the world of education?
We have some very exciting news. Let's jump right in. K-12 Dive, we're education researchers, and we stand with the education justice movement. Across U.S. public school districts, there are concerted efforts by conservative groups and think tanks to prevent the teaching of accurate history and critical thinking to our nation's children. Some drivers include classroom censorship, the outright banning of books from school curricula and libraries, and the attack on imparting social-emotional learning.
Okay. The reason why we're going for this one is that this comes off and it sounds very opinionated, which it kind of is. But Johnny, for you and I, though, to reclaim this, is that, you know, written by education researchers at NYU Metro Center for Policy Research and Evaluation to point out very specifically that what appear to be culture wars, what they are truly culture wars, these attacks on history, these attacks on diversity, these attacks on critical race theory, the attacks on LGBTQ, there's research to support why actually the efforts were put forward to begin with to teach truth, diversity in history, to acknowledge LGBTQ students, to recognize how there has been systemic destruction of marginalized peoples over the time in public education, that this isn't just an opinion piece, that the research was very clear here. And now what we're seeing is the research is very clear here to understand that the attacks on these marginalized populations, whether it's through curriculum, whether it's through censorship, whether it's through even just plain old denying that certain people exist, this is harmful academically and, let's be honest, socially and emotionally in ways that nobody who supports the bright, wonderful development of our children should be in any way supportive of this. So, Johnny, I wanted to bring this one forth because so often we hear diversity, inclusion, LGBTQ, those are nice, soft things that we want to strive for. But the reality is here, this is research that supports why we do this work, Johnny.
Yeah, Tim, I'm just going to layer onto that. I mean, I think it's sometimes a little bit bullshit that we need to have research to say, hey, it's important to include everybody into honor and have hold value with difference. It's that simple. If you care about diversity and democracy, then you hold space for respect across those areas, no matter how a child identifies, you know, no matter what group they identify belonging to. And I extend that even into the conservatives who are, you know, have every right to have conservative views, but you can't, you know, create spaces that are harmful for not only children, but for our neighbors and for ourselves and one another. So, you know what, like, glad that the researchers are telling us it's actually pretty harmful to be exclusionary and violent towards one another. Let's like, well, here, it's the, one of the bonuses of the homeroom drop. You know, I'm not feeling well today, so I'm a little less censored. Do I really need research to tell me this? I'm glad it's there.
Right.
But it's one of those when you read, you're like, well, no shit.
Well, duh.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. But it is important to show that, you know, these are in every way efforts I will say it, diversity, equity, inclusion, although it gets kind of stereotyped, it gets used as an adjective in a negative way. And I think that's a really problematic, intentional push from radical conservatives. But in the essence of it, that's actually work to make our school community stronger, better, and for every kid to feel safe and like they belong. And that is not happening in schools. Every kid going to school does not feel safe and belong in the United States going to school right now. I think I was just watching a special news documentary on school safety and talking about a whole line of products that are like bulletproof backpacks, right? And bulletproof notebooks and all the different ways that young people, and I talk to young people and teachers all the time, there's not a day they go to school that at some point in the day, they don't think about their safety and not feeling safe. And that's at some of the safest schools I've ever been in.
Right.
So we've got a bigger issue about how we make sure all of our students feel like they belong. And I'm glad the research is showing us that, but you know, shame on all these people for attacking good education.
You know, but and there's a side part here, and Jess, maybe, you know, think about this, is that the other attack here that the researchers maybe don't make so clear is that for the scholars that do this kind of work, their work as legitimate researchers has also been attacked by attacking the culture wars. So looking at diversity, equity, and inclusion, understanding how, let's just take history content has largely been a very whitewashed colonial approach, and that the research people did to expose that, even that research is in the balance. I'll just throw this to Jess for a minute.
Well, I mean, just taking a look at this, I fully agree with everything that you're saying. It's wonderful to have this research now that is very, you know, these are the numbers that people say, oh yeah, it's all great and good to hear your ideas and stuff, but where's the evidence that this is worthwhile, that this is something that we should be doing? To have those hard facts, those hard numbers to actually look at and say, yeah, we have evidence that this is not only not harmful, this is beneficial, this is necessary in order to advance our society, in order to move our learning and our culture forward. This is good stuff.
This is the best stuff. In fact, anybody right now, I'll throw it out there to you. Here's the best thing about homeroom. Oh, here's the best thing about Busted Pencils. We want to hear from you. What do you think about this story? 608-557-8577 is the Busted Pencils mailbag. Give us a comment, response. Hey, you know what, too? If you disagree with us, we'd love to hear from you, too. Because, Johnny, one of the things, and Jess, that we'll be doing in the future is opening that mailbag, quote, metaphorically, online.
Exciting.
Yeah, and revealing. Yeah, and getting into those questions. But so... First news story.
Yeah, that first news story, and you brought up research, and I think it's really important to dig into this. Researchers need to do better. I mean, this does align with your interests, like mine and too.
Yeah, right.
Here. But you know, we're in this age where everybody's an expert. You get your information in bits and pieces, and like I know what I'm talking about. I heard this thing, or I listened to this podcast. I saw this YouTube, you know, video or a reel. You know, but actually, when we talk about historians, we talk about a skill, and there are rules to that skill. It's not anything goes, right? It's not just tell a story. It's you know, there are conventions to it. There are codes and standards. And so researchers, like collectively, whatever kind of research you do, be transparent about your methods and talk about the importance of those methods and where it's not just like wave your hands and...
Right.
You observed, and so you're an expert, you know, and I think that's a big piece of this. One of the ways that these debates even got to be a debate, like is something as simple as should we be treating each other better, is you know, we could use research to do a lot of harm. So I could come up with numbers, like, you know, my background, I'm a math teacher, I have an advanced degree in statistics, and I don't necessarily dislike or discredit quantitative research. I think it's important. It's valuable. But I also know, and any researcher, both qualitative or quantitative, will tell you, you know, there's a lot of ethical responsibility as a researcher, because you can get numbers to tell you what they want.
Much anything.
They benefit certain things and hide others. And so, you know, that's another thing too, is where I kind of come in, even though myself, I'm a researcher, I come in, I'm like, okay, who cares? Like, do we really need the research?
I know
say that children should be well cared for in school. And yes, I actually think we do. I mean, because it's helpful, but also I want those researchers to remember what you do is valued. It's really important work, and how you do it is really important. Because I'm a pet peeve of mine on both sides of the political culture wars is, well, research shows. Well, then show me that research.
Right.
Because actually, I'm going to call BS on some of it. Like, the research actually doesn't show that. Your interpretation of what the research shows has been skewed to favor your sound bit. Right. And so I just want to come back around to that for our listeners. Like, question all the research and ask how they did it and look into it. And if you got a question about it, hit us up. That's our job. We do education research. So, you know, we dig in and figure out, what did they do here? What were their methods? Is this reliable? Yeah, it looks pretty good. Okay, let's treat kids better.
Duh. Yeah. Duh.
Teachers learn more when they're talking about teaching with other teachers.
Oh. No
shit, researcher.
Jess, come on. Story number two.
All right. K-12 dive. The average U.S. student is less than halfway to full academic recovery. First, some good news. Despite temporary disruptions to how and where students learn, the COVID-19 pandemic has ignited a new emphasis on relationships in school communities and the use of agile school models. Now, some bad news. Because of interrupted in-person learning, the average American student who attended school during the pandemic is less than halfway to a full academic recovery. Most concerning, widening academic gaps and other challenges for students with disabilities, English learners, and those experiencing homelessness.
There's one way that just jumps right out. And because, again, if you've been listening to Busted Pencils over the years, particularly since the pandemic, you know that Johnny and I, this whole, quote, learning loss, we've thrown it against the wall. It doesn't stick unless you're really, really only concerned about, quote, academic achievement. I got a little excited when I first saw this article because it starts with first the good news, right?
You expect to hear some good news.
We, you know, in the Center for Reinventing Public Education, I typically really like the work that they do, pointing out that, boy, what happened during COVID? Man, new emphasis on relationships in schools, agile school models, all of those things that were there. But second paragraph, the bad news. And the bad news here is I'm not sure it's, quote, bad news. It's news. Guess what, Johnny? It's almost kind of like research says let's be good to each other because that's good for kids. Okay. Yeah. Research shows that during a massive global pandemic that while kids and teachers were interrupted within school, some academic achievement gains or actually there haven't been, there's been some drops in academic achievement. Really? Okay. Yeah. That's a big news story that kids lost a little bit of, quote, academic achievement. Really? We're still trying to catch those kids up. Come on. The reality here is that where they are is where they are. We don't have any catch up to do. What we have is to recognize where they are and how we move forward is what matters. And calling out the fact that even before the pandemic, students with disabilities, younger students, students in situations where they have struggling economic situations, the reality that at-risk students were not being treated well or academically achieving the way they should have been. Hey, let's understand that. Let's put attention to that. But let's recognize that digging into those relationships and how we deliver school, really, that's where we want to be going forward, not backward, Johnny.
Yeah, Tim, I like how you say that. Let's go forward together. There's no doubt in my mind, and any educated educator, and look, teachers are educated. So every teacher out there is an educated educator. They might not be a researcher like Tim and I, but come on, man. Like you, every teacher, I go to their classroom. I see what's happening in schools, talk to school administrators. We all know that the pandemic has done one heck of a number on our communities, on us, and of course, on the children in those communities. So yes, they may have lost some of that learning time, but they also gained something really unique. And I don't want to romanticize the global pandemic, because absolutely not. It would be like saying, hey, well, we're all better off after a war. You know, it's just not the case. But we learn from what we go through. We learn from our experiences.
Absolutely.
And I do see some great things starting to happen in schools, because a lot of educators are focusing on, what did they learn? What do we know? What did it expose? How does it help us be better teachers? How does it help us provide school spaces where students can connect in ways that we immediately saw weren't able to connect? Or we've talked about it on here, Tim. Some of the students who went immediately to distance learning thriving. So, and the massive inequities in who has technology, who doesn't. We are living in a post-pandemic era where children are experiencing poverty at one of the highest rates of all of our lifetime. And so those are going to have massive impacts. So I like to, you know, focus on the sunny side of things. I see and talk to so many educators who are saying, you know what we learned? You know what we learned?
What we learned.
You know what we learned? I'm going to repeat it. You know what we learned? Because these research articles keep echoing and saying over and over, well, you lost learning. It's you like, lost. Hey, hold on a second. Because how are we adjusting? How are we doing things differently? And if you're not, and if you're buying into, we got to get back to the way we were doing it before, then shame on you. You missed the boat. Mm-hmm. It's about what did we learn? How do we come together? And how do we be a stronger community? Right? Yeah. So, Tim, I love these stories, man. I love chopping it up with you and Jess. It's always a great way to start my week, right? Or to end my week, whoever you're listening to this, because now you can listen to it whenever. Remember, listener, if you want to chime in, you want to leave a comment or ask a question, give us a call at 608-557-8577. This is Busted Pencils, Fully Leaded Education Talk. We are educated educators here with you. Thanks for busting pencils with us.